Book of Ephesians is where we're going to spend a lot of our time today. And I want to start by just pointing out to you a passage in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. Paul says, "For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father." Now, Paul, when he talks about both, he's talking about Jew and Gentile. That's the context of his discussion. But I want to focus on this idea of access to the Father today. We cannot and should never underestimate the value of having access to God. If you were to study or to read up on a lot of world religions, one of the things that you'll see in a number of them, not all of them, but in a number of them, is that there is some desire or even a means of trying to somehow connect the spirit realm with the physical realm. Most religions recognize that there is some transcendence. There's something more than just what we can see, taste, smell, touch, etc. There's something more. There's a spiritual realm out there. For some, it's inhabited by demons and evil forces, and that's kind of all they see. Okay, and often their connection, the trying to connect the heavenly with the earthly, can be sometimes by spirit beings, incantations, spells, a la Harry Potter type things, you know, sort of a connection with something that we can't touch. Ephesians 3, or certainly Ephesians 2 here, tells us that we have access to that. And I think by the time we get over to Ephesians 3, the Apostle Paul is expanding on what that access means and how it affects us internally and externally. Now, one of the things I did is, I see everybody was looking at that little yellow paper that we handed out with the worship bulletin this morning. And I kind of wanted you to see today what I'm talking about and how it fits in kind of a whole scheme of what the church is trying to do. Okay? We put this together a couple of years ago, and you'll see that we basically kind of noted that the 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9 is the essential mission of the church, the salvation of our souls. That's what the church is trying to do. That's what we are trying to do individually, is to find salvation and to have that when we pass into the next life. But as we look at the church as a whole, there are a number of things that comprise what the church is supposed to do. I have up top, outreach, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Works of service, Ephesians 4. Spiritual practices, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And by the way, that's plural there. It's not singular. It's prayers. So however Luke meant that, that's what we have to deal with. I kind of want you to see what we're talking about today embedded within that left side of the triangle, spiritual practices, okay? And you'll notice that this is a triangle that is connected. And all the things that we do are interconnected in some way. You know, unless we really experience what we're going to talk about today, and that is the love of God and are grounded in that, the other two things really don't make any difference. The outreach to try to reach the community doesn't really happen unless we have the power of knowing God's love and unless we reach out in love to them. Nor do the works of service that Ephesians 4 is talking about and that the leaders are supposed to prepare us for. None of that really fits very well unless we have all of these pieces of the triangle together. But I did want you to see that what we're talking about today, kind of in this left side of the triangle, these spiritual practices, and they are thus very important to give us the strength and the motivation and the power to be able to do all the other things. So let's consider Ephesians 3 today, because today's lesson really focuses on our personal spiritual growth. We are not going to have the power to maintain our steadfastness, as was mentioned in the study of James this morning, unless we find some spiritual power and some reserve deep within. You know, athletes often talk about finding that reserve within in order to be able to keep going at moments when their bodies begin to fail them. They have to find some strength beyond their own strength. And they usually talk about it within themselves. Ours is going to be both within and without. It's a power that God gives us, but it's still strengthening us within ourselves. And I think we need to maintain a certain depth to our spiritual lives. Okay? So let's look at just some words of this section and see if through some of the words here, we can at least understand how that happens. You know, this particular section, for me, it kind of defies outlining. And I like to outline things. I like them in nice order. But I think today, if we just look at some of the things he says there and maybe try to piece together what he's talking about, it'll make sense to you. The very first thing that sticks into my mind is what he says in verse 16. He's talking about things that happen in your inner being. Where is that? Maybe that's something like what athletes talk about and that finding that reserve deep within yourself. Find that you can do things you never thought you could do. But Paul talks about being strengthened with power in your inner being. You know, push comes to shove, you can't depend on everybody else to do it for you. Any more than you can depend on everybody else to supply, you know, that your needs. You know, you're the one that has to go work. You can't let somebody else do it for you. Paul is basically saying here, God provides you with strength in your inner being. And it has to happen at the very core of who we are. Jesus himself had to find strength in the garden when the disciples were all falling asleep. That's what he had to do. He had to find that strength in his inner being from God, of course, but it was deep within himself. We also know that he told the story about seeds. And some seeds fell on different types of soil. You remember the seed that fell on rocky soil? It sprang up quickly, but because it had no depth, when the sun scorched it, it just passed away. So we are called upon to find depth to our spiritual lives. The power has to reside deep within us. And I think one of the things Paul is talking about here sort of comes very close to a kind of spiritual exercise or an experience as much as it is a kind of intellectual exercise. You know, we focus, and I think rightly so in many ways, on learning the truth and learning the Bible and learning what God says. And that's a good focus. But there comes a point when that sort of intellectual exercise begins to fail us because it isn't enough. There has to be kind of an experience with the things that we learn that make a difference. You know, I noticed as we were singing this morning, the song 133, I hadn't noticed this before, but he talks about trying to write about the love of God. And, you know, there wouldn't be enough ink in the ocean to write that much about the love of God. And I think maybe that was this particular songwriter's attempt to say, you know, it's bigger than we think it is, and it's really hard for us to describe it in words of just how big that really is. So he actually begins this idea of Christ dwelling within you. And in Colossians 3:16, the apostle says, you know, let the word of Christ dwell within you richly. It kind of lives there. But it still becomes kind of hard to put it into words, doesn't it? We can describe it by saying, well, it's the cross. We can talk about it and say that's a sacrificing kind of love. We can define it as what we use in the Greek word as the agape kind of love. But until you really experience it yourself, that's all intellectual. It's good. It's a start. But somehow it's got to pass from here down to here and to everything else. You have to really believe it. I think it kind of becomes intuitive, maybe even second nature to you. And I'm not sure how to tell you to do that because I'm kind of a person, I like to understand things. But there is a sense, I believe, in which that experience has to dwell in our hearts through faith. Paul says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And he has to really live there. That love of Christ has to permeate us in such a way that, you know, it really becomes a reality for us. Words are failing me. But somehow you got to get it. And I'm not sure how to tell you to get it other than, you know, God wants to work deep within your inner being. And I think one of the things that I get out of this, at least, is that we have to attend to our thoughts, our feelings, and our desires. You know, when we begin to look at what we believe, and when we begin to see our desires still kind of fail us, they aren't consistent with what we believe, that's part of what we have to deal with, isn't it? What Paul talks about is the struggle in the inner man in Romans chapter 7. You know, it's kind of like the old cartoons where you saw on one side there was the good angel whispering one thing in one ear, and on the other side the bad angel whispering something in the other ear. Well, you're in the middle, and you have to do something with that. I think what you do with that is somehow you have to develop strength within your inner being, because it comes from you, and it's God's strength working within you. And I believe when Christ's love enters our lives, it doesn't just give us a whole new set of beliefs, but it gives us a whole new set of feelings. It changes and renews us. It changes our affections and what we love as much as what we believe. And that's where we get into the strength within our inner being. That's what Paul is trying to get to. But then he goes on to say that all of this is grounded in love, verse 17. That's the second phrase, I think, that's significant here. You know, the word love is ubiquitous, meaning it's everywhere. And I think sometimes it can become sort of trivialized because it is everywhere and we talk about it. All right? I'm not convinced it ought to be so trivialized, but we're never going to not stop talking about it because it's something that is incredibly important. But Paul is saying here that love must be the dominant inner condition of our hearts. We do things because we love. We do things because God's love is deep within our hearts. The first two commandments, love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. John 13:35, what is the one thing that Jesus says when people look at you and they see, they will know that you are my disciples? It's the characteristic of love. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, which by the way, I think is the core of that particular book in 1 Corinthians 13, because I think that's the whole thing he's trying to get them to do. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Now, I don't know about you, but I look at all those and I go, there's at least a couple there I'm not so good at. You know, we're kind of trying to work our way to being a loving person. There's a pretty good working definition of it, and it's all very, very practical. It's how you behave toward one another. Now, Paul is talking about here more God's love residing within us. Once we get the idea that love is the predominant characteristic and that we are grounded in it, how do we work with that? How do we become that loving person? Now, here again, I think is where Paul says something that to me becomes a little bit more on the experiential side. You kind of have to just keep believing it and keep working with it until it really kind of gets you. Because he says in verse 19 that God's love surpasses knowledge. Well, you see, in educational terms, how else do you get somebody to know something unless you just sort of educate them and give them knowledge? And Paul says it surpasses knowledge. You know, and I don't know. I just kind of screw up my eyes and I go, what? You know, how does that, you know, what is he talking about? On the one hand, Paul says, I want you to comprehend the love of Christ in verse 19. On the other hand, it surpasses knowledge. So you comprehend knowledge, but it surpasses knowledge. But notice what he says here. Its depth, its breadth, its height, and its width are beyond human comprehension. And yet he prays that they move in that direction. You see, and I think once again, Paul is saying something here that you sort of have to begin to experience it. You have to become a part of it. You have to let it become a part of you before you really begin to comprehend exactly the love of God. You know, all of us can probably give you some work, can give each other a working definition of it, as I said earlier. Well, love of God is shown in the fact that Jesus sent his son to die for us. That's a pretty good working definition of love. Does that really make a difference to you? I think that's what Paul is driving at. Our comprehension of Christ's love comes when we live with it And as we learn to obey His commandments, it becomes more of an experience for us that, yeah, this really is good. In John chapter 14 and verse 23, Jesus tells the disciples, you know, if you really believe and obey my commandments, the Father and I will come and make our home with you. Dwelling with you, same idea. That's how God lives with us. And the experience of actually doing those things, I think, breeds a whole new level of comprehension. Not gained by simply acquiring more facts or more data. All right? And I'm not against, in fact, I'm very much for acquiring more understanding and more Bible knowledge. But there's something that we have to take that a step further. And I think brings us to a greater level of awareness of God's love. When we begin to put them into practice, we begin to see how much love it took and what love really is. The last key phrase, I think, in the discussion here that I think is very important, Paul simply says in verse 19, is the fullness of God. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Paul makes a comment about having the fullness of God. Beginning in verse 8, actually, Colossians chapter 2, he says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority." Now go back to what I said earlier about religions trying to connect the transcendent and the physical, you know, the spiritual and the earthly. Here is the connection made completely. If you have Christ, you have the fullness of God. There's no intermediary being that you need. There's no incantation that you need to make. It's simply a matter of your profession of faith and your being baptized for remission of sins and you're following Him regularly and staying faithful to Him that you have the fullness of God in bodily form. You have it within you. That's what He does in Christ. If you have Christ, you have God, and heaven and earth come in contact daily and regularly. In fact, Colossians here warns against philosophies that cannot satisfy that role. Only Christ can satisfy that role. Now, back in the book of Ephesians, I think Paul is saying some very similar things. He says, number one, every family on heaven and earth is named from the Father. He is the source. There is a connection that God has already made in that He's the one that's named and created all the families on earth. Okay? Our connection with Him through Christ gives us everything that we could ever hope for in a religion that's trying to connect heaven and earth. We have it. To comprehend the love of Christ leads to, as Paul says in verse 19, being filled with all the fullness of God. For our spiritual development, do we really need any more? We have the fullness of God if we understand and comprehend the love of Christ. That's where it comes from. That's where our strength comes from. Talk about being strengthened with power through our inner being. That's what does it. It's not all that difficult to understand. But it might be difficult to really experience it because the love of God is so beyond our love, isn't it? Paul, it's bigger than anything we can imagine. Paul says to try to understand its breadth, its depth, its height, you know, its length, whatever. All the different dimensions of the love of God. He wants us to comprehend that. But it's so beyond us until we just maybe stop to ponder it, reflect on it, meditate it, let it kind of seep in. Again, words are kind of failing me here. That I don't exactly know how to say this. But I want you to notice what Paul does with it. Verses 20 and 21. If you get that, God's power at work within us can do more than we can ask or imagine. It can do more. You can do more if you allow it in. You can do more if you reflect the love of Christ in your life. If you begin to comprehend it more and more, you can do more than you can ever even imagine. And it's by His power at work within us. Once again, we're talking about something that moves beyond something external to something internal. Christ's love and the Holy Spirit renew and empower us in a way. Words are failing me. I'm sorry. I just cannot come up with the words of saying it, except by what Paul says. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And maybe it just makes sense to end with kind of a flourish of praise, that we kind of understand what he's talking about in some way. I think as we look at, again, going back to our mission triangle and thinking about, you know, what we have to do, I think these kinds of things have to be maintained. They have to be certainly obtained, but certainly maintained for ourselves on a regular basis. It's one of the reasons why we go through this 40 days of prayer every year. It's one of the reasons we encourage that. You got to do some things, okay? The church can't do it all for you. You have to get the strength from God through you. And some of that requires you to reflect on the love of Christ. Some of that requires you to pray regularly, to be in contact with the Holy Spirit and with God and with the power that's available to you. You have to avail yourself of that and kind of stir it up. I think that's a part of what Paul is trying to do here. Now, I did notice also in the psalm that was read, very interesting phrase there in Psalm 145 and verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him, and to all who call on him in truth. Well, I don't know what else to make of that other than it seems pretty consistent with what Paul is saying here about strengthening your inner being. You have it available to you, but you got to go get it. You have to call on him to get it. You have to call on him to help you comprehend the love of Christ. You have to keep renewing that, and I think it has to happen on a regular basis. Paul says that the church should continue and would continue to experience the power of God. Our inner being gains strength from continuing to comprehend the love of Christ and comprehending it even more. You never fully get there. You have to keep experiencing it and trying to understand it more fully. Such strength provides us with a power beyond what we can imagine. And here again, words kind of fail us. But I believe in Acts chapter 2:42 that those spiritual practices are the things that lead us to experience it more deeply. Some of you who've been here on Wednesday nights will remember that in Psalm 73, after the psalmist is having all this struggle and understanding why there's evil in the world and why the bad guys seem to have it so good, it's when he actually goes into the temple for worship that he gets it. Finally, when he engages in that spiritual exercise, and I'm calling it a spiritual exercise, it's worship, that he finally gets it, and he finally has, yep, I was wrong. You know, I have a little deeper understanding now, but it took him going into worship in order to get it. So those spiritual exercises in Acts chapter 2:42 seem to me to fit very nicely with what Paul is trying to say here. There has to be a comprehension that goes, that is regular and kind of goes beyond sometimes what our words can do for us. My urging this morning is, avail yourself of the love of Christ. Let yourself be grounded in that. Know that you have a power beyond your own power available to strengthen your inner being. And live with that this week. Eric, let's stand and sing.